to praise Him. Oh, and throughout forevermore I will reign. With all your heart this morning, thank you, Lord Jesus. All hail, King Jesus. All hail, Emmanuel, King of Kings, Lord. Just worship Him. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, and throughout eternity, I'm going to praise Him, and forevermore I will reign with Him. You deserve the glory and the honor. As we lift our hands to worship, as we praise Your holy name, You deserve the glory. Yes, Lord, and the oh, let Him know this morning. Thank You, Lord Jesus. As we lift our hands to worship, as we praise Your holy name, for You are great, You do miracles. So thank You, Lord. Yes, Lord. There is no one else like You. There is no one else like You. Oh, just worship Him. Lift your hands. You deserve the glory and the honor. Invite Him on the throne of your heart this morning as we lift our hands to worship, as we praise Your holy name. You deserve the glory. We love You, Lord, and the honor. As we lift our hands to worship, as we praise Your holy name, for You are great, You do miracles so great, there is no one else like You. There is no one else like You. Let's sing that once more with all your heart this morning. You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh, as we lift our hands to worship, as we praise Your holy name, You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh, as we lift our hands to worship, as we praise Your holy name, for You are great, You do miracles so great, there is no one else like You. Like You, for you are great. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord Jesus. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He deserves the glory and the honor. Praise the Lord Jesus. I was talking to a friend of mine who had a friend that was dying from COVID. And he was a Christian. And he said all his breath, he couldn't breathe. Everything was pretty much done. And he said when he was in that state, as I remember, he said he couldn't think of anything else, couldn't think of family, couldn't think of anything, but the only thing that came to his heart was to praise God, to honor God, to glorify God. That was the only thing that was on his heart, just to worship who God is. Amen. And that just stood out to me. Amen. Just to worship our Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's see, who can we get to help us today? Jonas, Brother Jonas, you want to help us with the offering?
Let them have a good service in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. We are standing on holy ground. Amen. Y'all enjoyed that teaching this morning from our brother? Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are standing on holy ground. Let's stand as we sing it once more. Oh, we are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around.
God, and thank Him for giving us the strength and the desires to come together to worship again. Also, one other thing that came across my mind this morning. If you don't feel like coming to church, don't talk to somebody who don't believe in God. Because they're going to encourage you not to come. And then when you don't come, they're going to encourage you to do something for them. So just don't never listen to those people. Amen. We're going to read this morning Psalm 23. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for giving us the strength and courage, Lord, to desire to come together to worship around your holy word. Father, for there are so many things that you have done for us and that you're still doing. Lord, we ask you just to strengthen us, Father, and help us. For we realize that in this world, there's Satan everywhere trying to destroy and discourage your people. But Lord, let us hold fast unto your word, Lord. And even whatever may be, Lord, we love you. And we pray that you will guide us and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you happy? Mercy, truth and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing 71. I know it was the blood. Thank God for that blood. Amen.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I knew it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I knew it was the blood for me. I knew it was the blood. I knew it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, oh, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Know it? I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Do you thank him for the blood? I thank him for the blood. I thank him for the blood. I thank him for the blood for me. One day when I was lost, oh, he died upon the cross, and I thank him for the blood for me. I know it was the blood, oh, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died on the cross, and I thank him for the blood that saved me. Hallelujah, he redeemed me, and I've been born again to win.
544.
And I thank God he justified me.
Amen. That was that blood.
Of his fullness have we all received of him. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. Oh, again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Let's stand as we sing it.
Oh yes, and hallelujah, he redeemed me.
Thank him for redeeming you.
And I've been born again to win. Justified,
glory
of his fullness have we all received of him. I'm a new creation,
everybody.
I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. Oh, again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. Oh, again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank God he redeemed us by that blood, justified us just as if we'd never done it. Praise the Lord Jesus. You ready for the word this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get our hearts and minds ready for that word. God will just use our brother as a vessel this morning to speak to our hearts. You know, we need him. This is a terrible day, a terrible time that we live in. I mean, we know it's insanity. It's so insane that we don't know it's insane. I mean, Lord, help us all. Praise the Lord. And certainly our young ones, our kids, we pray God will just continue to deal with them. Amen. You know, my dad told me, he said, you know, not too long ago, he said, John, and my dad, you know, he was a hardworking father, you know, and went through a lot of battles and tests and trials, but he said, you know, you be an example. Be an example to your kids. I said, Lord, help me. Help me to be that example of a Christian to my own family, to my wife, you know. That's my desire. You know, you don't know somebody unless you talk to their wife and kids. So I want to be that type of example, you know, that you can talk to them and you get the same story. Pressing on by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's ask the Lord to open the eyes of our hearts as our brother comes on out.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, my Lord, I want. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Oh, my Lord.
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up.
Oh, Lord.
shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Good to see each one of you in the house of the Lord this morning. We got to see our, well, they ain't visitors, but feel like they're part of us. Brother Curtis and Sister Doyne is with us this morning. Good to see them. And just continue to, as Brother Bob said this morning, the young people seem like they're having a good time. I've had, what little bit I've got to hear of it, I've had a good time. So, so we just appreciate the Lord blessing them and appreciate Brother Dale allowing them to go and helping them get there and everything. And, you know, everything we do for the kingdom of God, we won't know all what has taken place or what we've done until the other side. But, you know, sometimes we do get a glimpse of the little bit that we've been able to do on this side to be a help to the body. And it's going to be a great day over there. We'll get to see all of the things that, you know, many times we don't look. You know, the one of the things that kind of what we might talk about this morning, but you, the devil, that's his job. He likes to cloud your vision and, you know, hide things. But, you know, it's nice to, as Peter said, stir up your pure minds in a way of remembrance. When you get to looking back at the things, and you know, we're going to see one of these days all the things that we've overcome. All the former things are going to be passed away. We're going to know that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So it's going to be a great day. But we're having a great day today. And just want to remember Brother Wade and Brother Oltig and the different ones. And just pray that God touch Brother Oltig and raise him up and help him get over this heart attack and everything, get back in the pulpit. And so y'all just continue to remember him. I know sometimes we get, you know, just humans. But ever since, you know, Brother Wade was talking about going down there, I just continue to remember him and just pray that the Lord will touch him and raise him up. So, amen. So God bless you this morning. We're going to get right into the word. We're going to go to John chapter 3. And Brother Bob was speaking on some of my notes this morning because I had the whole chapter of Hebrews 2 in my notes, and he got up and read the whole thing this morning. So go ahead, Brother Bob. Go ahead. So, but this morning I want to take a little thought. I'd had a couple of thoughts, but I couldn't figure out how to put it together. I got up at 20 minutes till 6 this morning, and I sat in the living room, and the Lord gave me a thought. So this morning, y'all just pray for me. But no, I just pray the Lord speak this morning, and y'all, we all get a blessing from it. Amen. So I'm going to speak on this morning on impeaching of a witness. And these two scriptures, I'm going to read here, John chapter 3 and Acts 1. Brother Branham both read these and the message, a testimony of a true witness. And I just want to read these and y'all just pray for me, pray for each other. And let's just all bow our heads and then we'll get into the word this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful for another time to be in your house, Lord. Lord, that we can come and Lord, after we've fought all of the things in the world and, Lord, the weariness of day-to-day life and all the things that we have to face, Lord, but we can come into this house that's been dedicated for us to come and commune with you, Lord, to raise our voices to you, Lord, in praise and adoration. And Father, we just pray this morning, Father, that you come and help us this morning, Lord, because the most important thing, Lord, is to hear from you, Lord, to hear from your word, Lord. And Father, we pray that you just come and anoint us this morning, Lord, the speakers and the hearers alike, Father. Lord, give us what we have need of this morning. And Father, I just pray that every need that's mentioned in that's represented in this building, Lord. Father, I think of our sister, Lord, that Sister Mary there had the request, Lord, that she's got a job interview tomorrow, I believe it is. And Father, we just pray that you just, Lord, just be on the scene there and bless her. And Father, we just, each one, for the young people this morning, Lord, for all the counselors and the ministers there at the camp, Lord, we just pray that you continue to bless them and minister in a special way, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that lives will be changed, Lord, that, Lord, from this day, Lord, from this gathering, Father, that Brother Jason and them having the burden on their heart to do this, Father. And, well, we know that if you've burdened somebody's heart for it, Lord, we know that there's work and reaping from the young people, Lord. And we just know that lives will be changed from that. We just give you honor for that and thanks. And Father, just bless us this morning, Lord, for each one, the fivefold ministry around the world, Lord, the little bride. Father, we just pray that you be with each one, Lord, and we just pray for those that are just struggling, Lord, and Lord, that are sick and afflicted, Lord. I think of Janine being at home this morning, Lord, and having all the sinus problems and chest congestion and all that, Lord, and we just pray that you just touch her this morning. Lord, be with her, and Lord, for each one that has a need, Lord, we just look to you because we know that you are the one that can answer all our questions, Lord, take care of all of our problems and all of our needs. Lord, we commit it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. John chapter 3, and it says, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, he that testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 1. Very familiar scriptures here. And it says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the disciples whom he had chosen, to whom he also shewed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of him 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. It's getting warm up here. I don't know if y'all know, we had a little issue with the air conditioner. We got heat, but we got no air conditioning. So we can get all, if you're cold, you can get hot all you want. But we'll have to work on that in the future. But this morning I want to speak on impeaching of a witness. And I want to read a quote from the message, the testimony of a true witness. And Brother Branham says, now a testimony. He said, before a person has to have an experience before they can testify, if you were called in court and you have to give a testimony, you have to know something before you can testify. And a witness is a person that has seen something that knows that it is the truth, and they're called to give witness. And then a witness must know what he's talking about. He must be not someone told me a certain thing. He must be the witness himself. If not, he's speaking of someone else that could be a witness at the scene. He said, now I think that being that we see out from our congregation that life is so fragile, then death that is so positive. Positive, not like death is a positive thing, but it is something that carries you through. So it's just an avenue to get into the presence of God. But you know, I mean, it is something that we all have to face. So one of the things I want to look at this morning is because if death is something that's certain, see, it's, when Brother Ray talking about bypassing death, he's not really talking about you're going to bypass death. Because the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So it's not like we're going to go around it. But we're going to overcome it. Amen. So it's not that we're going to, you know, everybody's, no, you're going to face death. As Brother Bram said, you know, you're just going to wipe it off. But he's still going to come. You're still fighting the effects of death every day. You're still getting older. We're all getting older. We're all still having problems. We're still fighting that thing. But you know what? But we're going to overcome it. Because as the scripture said, see, he overcame. And so then if we are a part of him, then if he overcome, then we overcome. He's overcome these things. He said, we need to come to a place that we are positive sure that this that we speak of is right. See, it is not nothing that we can just haphazardly, as we would say, accept it. You've got to be positive sure that it's right, because we do not know what kind of an end that we will come to. And he says, that's the reason I am a Calvinistic thinker, a security of the believer, is because that I believe that when a man or a woman is in their right mind, that is the time to accept the Lord Jesus and get it all settled then once forever. Because when we come to the end of the road, we don't know just where or how we're going to be sick. We may be sick in our mind. There might be a fever that, you know, that would really cook our very brain, and we might not say anything or do anything at the end of the road. We don't know. But you see, if we have already anchored in Christ, no matter what sickness takes us or what condition we are, what we are when we go, it's already settled. We are sealed unto the day of our redemption. Amen. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day, not of your death, but of your redemption. See, right. After death's done over, you're still sealed. Amen. So this morning, when we speak of being a part of God and being a witness, and reading the scriptures here, Brother Brown said when he read John, and one of them talks about a testimony, and the other one, he said, talks about a witness. And so this morning, I want to speak on being a witness. But impeaching of a witness, and the definition of impeach means to dispute, to disparage, deny, or contradict. He said, to attempt to prove that a witness has not told the truth or has been inconsistent by introducing contrary evidence, including statements made outside of the courtroom in dispositions or in statements of the witness heard by another. So when we speak of having an impeaching of a witness, then there's three witnesses that has to be looked at this morning that we want to look at. And the first one is God. And when we look at God being a witness, because God spoke. And in we'll see here in a minute, you know, Brother Branham said, I believe it was in the message, at thy word, Brother Branham says that God believed his own word. And the things come into existence. And then we see that Jesus was a witness. Jesus was a witness of the Father. Yes. He was a manifestation. And so we see, and then there is the witness of you and I. Amen. We are a witness. Yes, right. And so, you know, because Brother Branham said one time, he was talking about political parties, and you know, when you start talking about political parties, that's how you get into impeachment, because, you know, that's the big thing now. You know, if you don't like somebody, we're going to get rid of them. But, you know, when you begin to look at this, and Brother Branham said, you know, he said, God voted for me. And he said, the devil voted against me. But he said, I voted with God. He said, so I know my vote's right. And he said, you know, they were talking about political parties. He said, my party's in heaven. So I know where I'm voting from, but you have to make that decision. But see, if we're going to be a witness to see the things of God, then we have to believe what has been told. And so, as Brother Ram talked about in a court trial, you know, he began to put the word of God and the Holy Spirit on trial and say, you know, is this really true? And you know, we're going to prove whether it's right or not. And so, you know, you have to decide whether it's true or not. But, you know, the scripture there where it talks about in Acts 1 and 3, I thought was so good because, and he said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. So he began to show to the disciples that he was alive and the things that he had done. And, you know, as we've covered the last few sermons, you know, we've been talking on the life of Christ and looking at it and bringing the parallel a little bit between seeing this message and seeing that the life of Jesus Christ and this message are the same, because it's one and the same, and it's not anything different, but it's the exact same thing. It's the life of Jesus. It's the Word of God, because He was the Word. He is the Word made flesh, and that's what we've received in our day, is the Word made flesh again. So there's no difference between what we've received and what was written in the New Testament. And what we've seen, because, you know, many people, you know, they want to try to disparage or discourage and contradict this message, but they can't. The more that they've tried to tear it down, the more they can't tear it down. Why? Because God never has been without a witness. He's always had a witness. And you know what? When everything comes, when he said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he said he'd raise up a standard against it. He'll always have an answer. But you know, the thing is, because those that are believers, there's no power in hell. There's nothing that's going to take them away from believing. But those that are unbelievers, it doesn't matter. You're not ever going to get them to believe. You know, Brother Brandon was talking about that man that didn't believe in divine healing, and he stood there and he was like, I don't care how many doctors you bring up here. He said, I don't believe in divine healing. He said, I don't care what evidence you bring. And Brother Ram said, well, that's true. He said, because it wasn't for you. He said, but it was for them that would believe. It's for those that will believe. So when he makes the divine promises of God are yea and amen, but it's only to those that will believe what God said. And it's not for the world. But you know, you're not going to argue and you're not going to convince these people of what the truth is. But the only thing is God's going to have a witness in this last day. The bride of Jesus Christ is going to show to the world what is written in this book. Why? Because she's going to be the book made manifest. You're not going to argue and you're not going to turn people to the truth. The only thing that can do that is the Holy Ghost. But you know what? We're going to proclaim this word. Jesus done his part. He walked and he was the word made flesh and he began to speak to them. And the scripture says, you know, he told them, so who convinced me of sin? Who can show that I have walked from contrary to the word? And many times it's you and I. We're going to get into this. But you know, if he said that you and I are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh and life of his life, then we should be able to make that same claim. Yes. Amen. But whose witness will we believe? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? As Isaiah said, who's going to believe what God has said? This is from the message, at thy word, Lord. He said, you don't know how you'll get up out of that chair and get away from there tonight. See, you don't know how you're going to do this or how these other diseases are going to be healed. He said, but at thy word, Lord, I'm going to let down the net. At thy word, Lord, I'm going to raise up from here. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but at thy word, Lord, that's it. Take God at his word, and God's spoken word will materialize and produce just exactly what it says it will. Listen, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. I don't care what it is. He said, if you plant corn, you plant corn, water corn, leave corn alone, it'll produce corn. Is that right? Wheat will produce wheat. He said the promise of salvation will produce a Christian. The promise of the Holy Ghost will bring it to you. The promise of divine healing will make you well. Any divine promise of God, and the Bible said that the word of God is a seed. Is that right? Jesus said that a sower sowed. He said, if you'll just take it in your heart and don't dig it up every day to see how it's getting along, just sink it in your heart and settle it. That's all. Walk right on. God will take care of the rest of it. He's obligated to his word. Do you know that everything that you see tonight is God's word materialized? He said, do you know your body is God's word materialized? Do you know them beans there is God's words materialized? Do you know that concrete is God's word materialized? Do you know this whole earth is God spoke and said, let there be? And he believed his own word and it come into existence. If it didn't, where did it come from? Well, you say it'll come off the sun. Well, he spoke the sun into existence. See, everything is God's own word. The worlds were framed by the word of God. The Bible said so. God just spoke it and he believed his own word, and that's what it was. He said, now God has spoken his word to us. Just believe him and watch what happens. Now when he speaks something, this is his word initially first, and any other word that's contrary to this is not God's word. It has to come from the Bible. So this is what God has spoken and everything that we have, and he believed his own word. So he believed what he said because he knew what was going to take place. He had in his mind, his vision of what was going to take place. And the great thing about God is God's never been shocked. Nobody's ever taken him by surprise. He knew always what was going to take place. He knew that you'd be here this morning. Know every problem that you ever faced. But you know what? When every problem came your way, whatever decision, whatever it was that came your way, you know what? He's already made a way for you. He said with every temptation, he said there would be a way of escape made. So whatever the problem was that you came here this morning with, whatever bondage or whatever problem it is, you know what? God has already got the answer for it. You know what? There's never been a problem that's come that God doesn't already know what the answer is and has the answer already for you. He said, before you call, I will answer. So then when the answer is already there, then all we got to do is believe it. But the problem is do we believe it? Because one of the problems that we have that we will see here is when there's a witness that is coming and then the Holy Spirit has come to witness the Word. So when the Holy Spirit has come to witness the Word, then He speaks what the Word is and He speaks it to you. But then the other witness that we have is the devil. And the devil is there and he's going to begin to speak to you. And who are you going to listen to? Because when we get through some of the, and later on in the scripture and here, we're going to see that, you know, you've got to, that's the reason I said we're going to impeach the witnesses, because we're going to look at the outcome of the witnesses. So when Brother Rand said, when you go to court, then you have to have a witness that has the truth. That he is an eyewitness to these things, and then you've got to have a witness that's a credible witness to testify. Because if you've got one that's not, then you're going to get up there and you're going to bring the contrary evidence to what they said. And then you bring it and say, well, you know what? You're not a credible witness. Well, then you know what? Then you cancel out that witness's testimony. So when we begin to look here in the scripture, when we begin to look at the witness, then you know what? When the Holy Ghost has spoken, when we look and say, well, is the Holy Ghost true? Is what the Holy Ghost has spoken, is it true? Does it come to pass? But then you take the things that the devil has said, and then you say, what is he a credible witness? Is what the devil has said? Because you know what? We allow him to sit on our shoulder and have a courtroom in our mind, and he'll stand there and tell us and talk about into our mind, and we'll take up time to listen to what he has to say. But is he a credible witness? But then you say, well, then who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to God or are we going to listen to the devil? Because that's what we do. We take up time to listen to what the devil has to tell us. To live in a world of fear. As somebody was talking about recently, talking about, you know, the problem is living in the fear of the unknown. But the thing is if we get into the Word and the Word is in us and we've received the Word, then we become the Word by receiving the Word. Then the Word it becomes known to us. It becomes open to us. So we're not walking in darkness, but we're walking in light. Now we may not see all things as Paul said, but you know, he said we see Christ. So we're walking in the light as He is in the light. So it's not, we see everything, no, but we continue to walk. As that man was talking to Brother Branham, and Brother Branham asked him, said, well, how are you going to get home? Because he said he didn't agree with everything that Brother Branham had to say about divine healing, different things. And he said, well, how are you going to get home? He said, well, I'm just walking in the light. He said, where's your home? He said, it's over the hill there. He said, well, can you see it? No, I can't see it. Well, how do you know it's there? He said, well, you know, I've been there. I've seen it. He said, but how do you get there? He said, I got to walk this path. He said, well, how are you going to walk in the path? He said, I got this light. And he said, I'm walking because I can see the path in front of me and I keep walking. And he said, the further I walk, the more of the path that I can see. And I just keep walking in that path and I keep going forward. They said, brother, he said, that's the way it is in the Word of God. He said, we're walking in the light as He is in the light. So we just continue to walk in the light that God shines in our way. And we begin to keep walking in that way. We don't see it all. We can't see it all at this time. But you know what? We're just a daily journey in with God because we know where He's taking us. Amen. We put our faith in Him so we can just walk day by day.
That's right.
And have confidence in Him.
Yes. Amen.
This is a... Read John chapter 8, verse 39 says, so here's the Pharisee speaking to Jesus. He said, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. He said, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Now ye seek to kill me. Ye do the works of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. He said, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? He said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answering the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory, and there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. So when he begins to speak here, you know, we understand that the word is the only thing that brings life. And you know, when he begins to speak to them, and he begins to tell them, as we covered previously, you know, there were so many things that the Pharisees and the religious leaders had spoke about, and you know, everybody had their own different denomination. Brother Brown talks about, you know, one believes this and one believe that, and there was all these different confusions. But they all said, well, we all believe the word. We all believe the word. It's all the same. We believe that Jehovah spoke to us and we've heard the word, but everybody's got their own idea of what was going to take place. But when the prophets began to speak, then they began to unfold the scripture to the word, began to unfold to the people. Then they stood there and he said, y'all will go out there and your fathers who the God had sent the prophets to, he said, they've killed every single one of them. And he said, then they go out and he said, y'all are the ones that go out there and polish their tombs. You garnish the tombs of the prophets. And he said, your fathers were the ones that killed them because God spoke the word to them and you didn't believe it. And he said, even today, it's the same thing. He said, because the word that the prophet spoke of is the same word that I speak of. That is me that I am making manifest in this time. And he said, you don't believe it. Right. He said, you don't believe me. He said, you're of your father, the devil. It's the same spirit because their fathers didn't believe it. He said, oh, well, we're Abraham's seed. Well, Abraham rejoiced to see our day. Abraham rejoiced to see this day. He was looking for this day. But y'all weren't looking for this day. Why? Because they had their own preconceived ideas how he was going to come, how Jesus would come and fulfill the scriptures. But he began to point them right back to the scriptures to show that the scripture had been fulfilled. But they began to miss that. But Nicodemus come to Jesus that night, and even Nicodemus told him, said, Lord, we still see and understand that no man can do these things except God be with him. We know who you are. But when they stood in front of the crowds and all of the people, they didn't want them to know, because they would have to tear down all of the things that they had built, all of their ideas and their seminaries and all the things that they had built. All of that would have to be torn down, because they would have to come back and realize, you know what, we've missed it all. But he began to show the people what the truth was, and taking them right back to the scripture to show what was spoken in the Old Testament was exactly what was taking place right then. It's the same thing today. God is here, and he has opened the word, and we've had a great ministry in our day to show us these things that were in the scripture. But it was all these things that took place. It was God that had done these things in our day. But you know, you try to point people back to that to show them exactly what the scripture says. But they've missed it. And you know, we find many people that have walked in this truth and stood up and proclaimed all these things. And now that, you know, everybody, they spent all their time trying to tear it down. But we realize, you know, that's what God said would take place in the last days. There's a great falling away, but you know what? It's a great time because we see that, they see that as well, you're just following a man or you're just following error because you can't see the truth. But in our day, I see it because it's a great rejoicing time because God is showing us what was taking place because He told us these things would take place. So when we see these things were going to take place, well then it's time to rejoice and look up because our redemption draws nigh because we realize these are the things that are supposed to take place in our day. And this is Mark chapter 14, and it's a little bit of a lengthy reading here, but in Mark 14, beginning verse 44, and they said, and he that betrayed him had given them a token, speaking of Judas, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, that kiss is he, take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he had come, he goeth straightway to him and said, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest to cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? He said, I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. With him were assembled all the chief priests and elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priest and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answer thou nothing. What is it with these, which these witness against thee? And he held his peace and answered nothing. And the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, what need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him and cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. So we see here in the scripture, you know, when he come to take him, here he was when they come to take him, you know, Jesus spoke to him and, you know, they said, listen, I've been with you all this time and spoke. And they didn't realize, he said, you know, all this thing is taking place, but he said, I want you to understand, I understand what's taking place. He said, the scriptures might be fulfilled. Yes. You know, he never got in a situation where he was flustered.
Right.
Or he was worried or feared or anything. He knew what was taking place. So he told him, said, I understand what's going. He said, but why are you doing this? He's pointing it back to them and say, y'all don't see this, but this is the fulfillment of scripture. Because, you know, that's what the scripture said. The prophecy would come that he would be betrayed by one of his own. And so as here it is, he's speaking to these things and, you know, he said, you come at me like this. And he tells Peter, you know, when Peter takes the sword and he cuts the high priest here, like, listen, this is not the time to do these things. Don't worry, you know, I understand what's taking place. And you know, Peter, you know, he's always the hot-headed one. You know, he's the quick on the trigger, as they say. But, you know, he was a little, and he's like, listen, I understand. Listen, this is what's going to take place. And we know that even the scripture said that they would come against him in false witness and these things. And the scripture says that here they, all of these witnesses, trying to find somebody that's going to stand up. But you know what he said? He said none of their witnesses would agree. They didn't have all of the witnesses that could tell about Jesus. Not a single one of them could get their story straight. And even when they went to the scripture and they took the exact same thing that Jesus told them. Jesus told them, he said, you tear down this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. And he said, they all stood up there and told the same story and they couldn't even get that one to agree. And not understanding, that's the scripture. And so, you know, and I want y'all to see this morning, if we understand that even when people begun to take the scripture, even when the devil comes and speaks to you, if he's trying to tell you the scripture, even when he tries to tell the scripture, he can't tell it right. When he was on the mountain with Jesus and he began to talk to him about the scriptures, when he began to tell him these things, he didn't even get the scripture right because Jesus rebuked him with the word. Went right back to the word because he had misplaced the word. And so, you know, when everybody begins to say, well, I'm going to tell you what the scripture says. Well, you know what? There's no place that if you're true and begin to walk in the light, you cannot turn down any part of the word. But you know what? Anybody that comes by and wants to change the word or whatever, if it's not all of the word, it's contrary. It's contrary to the Spirit of God because you know what? There's always going to line up every time. There's always going to be one word that somebody's got to turn down if it's going to be contrary to the Word of God. Amen. The Spirit, the Antichrist is not going to receive every word. Amen. When Satan began coming and spoke to Eve in the garden, see, she had to turn down one word. She had to turn down one word to fall. And so if you're fortified behind the word, you've got to be fortified behind every single word. That's when Jesus said, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. He said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. So it's every word that we must receive every word. If we receive every word, then we stand fortified behind it. But he said, even when they begin to take the word and try to bring it and try to come contrary to show that Jesus was not right, was not who he said he was. Trying to show that he had blasphemed, that he had disbelieved the word. And even in the time they were trying to take the word, they couldn't prove that it was right. He said their witness wouldn't agree together. See, it takes the Holy Ghost. That's the reason he said it's not just the word. He said, but it takes the Spirit. It takes the Holy Ghost to put the word together. What Brother Bram said, he said, what we need is a revelation. He said, it's a revelation. He said, it's because he was talking about, you know, we don't need a new book. He said, we don't need a new translation. We don't need it. He said, what we need is the Spirit. Amen. He said, it takes the Spirit to put it together. Because many people, you know, he said, you know, it's not just comparing one scripture to another, not one thing to the other, but it takes the Holy Spirit. Yes. Because many people have read the scripture and have studied the scripture and spent their life dedicating their life to the study of the scripture. And reading and everything, and they can quote so much of the scripture to you and all these things and be able to know all these things, but the problem is they don't know the author. When you have somebody that can stand up and they know so much of the scripture, but when it comes to water baptism in Jesus' name, they have no idea what you're talking about. But they've read the scripture cover to cover and it's like all of a sudden there's this covering or they don't see that. When they don't see how when a prophet is supposed to come or how women are supposed to dress or anything like that, when it shows it in the scripture and you begin to bring these things out and show how it is and nobody has any idea what it's talking about. See why? Because it takes more than just reading the scripture. It takes more than just reading and it takes more than just people being around this message and saying, I believe that Brother Branham was a prophet. Well, it takes more than that because if it's not the Holy Spirit, many people are standing around and, you know, I believe what God done in our day. But it takes more than that because it's got to be an indwelling, not just an anointing. You know, many people, you know, they live in a realm where, you know, they get so wrapped up and it's all about, What kind of emotions they can have in church and all these things. But you know, it takes more than that. It takes a life. It takes an indwelling, not just an anointing of the Spirit. Maybe, well, I've spoke in tongues and I've had these miracles and these different things happen. But what, you know, the thing is, but do you agree with the Word? Do you know what the Word says? When the Word is presented to you, do you accept it or do you say, well, I don't, you know, that's not for me. Or that, you know, I don't believe that. My church doesn't teach that.
Come on, brother.
The thing is it what has been said? Do you put truth in that? Because that's what it takes in this hour. Because, you know, then when you begin to see these things, then are you listening to what the Word says? Are you listening to someone else? So are you listening? So as we see that in the Scripture, we understand how these things are supposed to take place. So we understand, are you going to believe what God has showed, or we believe the devil? And it's like, well, we're just going to cut a little corners here. We're going to shave a little this, you know. We're going to get in a little gray areas. No. Because Brother Branham said, you know, he's like talking about those men running that wagon. Running on that. He's like, well, how close are you going to get to the edge? Well, I can get this close. I can get this close. This other man's like, no, I'm hugging the wall. He said, I'm scraping the side. He said, I want that fellow over there. He said, I want the man to get away as far away off the cliff as he can, not the man that tries to figure out how many microns he's riding on the edge of the cliff. I want to be the man that gets away. You know, so like when you talk about, well, let's see how close we can get in the world, how much we can dabble on the edge or you know, no, we don't need any of that. He said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He said, to turn away from all, even the appearance, abstain from even the appearance of it. Well, you need to shun all of the stuff. You know, just even if it don't even might even not even look good, we need to be mindful of those things to even try to just totally shun those things. Brother Bram says, "This is a believest thou this." He says, now look, let's think of the day of our master. Reading of the text brings us to a spot in his life where he became very popular. He was born with an illegitimate accusation against him, and he came in the way of a stable. Could you imagine? And in veiled, he was Emmanuel. God was in him. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And he was a king of glory, come down and tabernacled amongst men, making himself subject to death, that he might taste death for all the human race. In spirit, he could not. So God created a blood cell in the womb of Mary that brought forth the Son, Christ Jesus, and God dwelt in that body. Jehovah tabernacled in the body of the Son, which was the Son of God. And here he came through by a barn door. He lived a humble life, no place to lay his head, and he went out of the world through capital punishment and shame and disgrace for us. And now he was the ensign that was to be lifted up. And I am so thankful tonight that he did that for me and you. Now, after all these years, we have his favor and fellowship with us. Skeptics have arose up, and many Bob Ingersolls and so forth have tried to condemn the Word and tried to say, well, it was this way and that way, and it was days past. But we as a Christian, Holy Spirit-filled people, have the Holy Spirit as a witness of the Word. See, the Holy Spirit is a witness. Now, not only the Word, whatever we want to say about it, that's one thing or another, but we know that we have the Scriptures right here. We have the Scriptures right, for we have the Holy Ghost as a witness. That's the witness. So God looking down through the optical eye, as it was, and looked down through the magnifying glass and seeing the end from the beginning. Why? He knew these skeptics would rise and try to twist the Word in and out like that. So he said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll pray the Father and he'll send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and he will abide with you. And he says, until 1950, which is, he preached this in 51, forever. Amen. That's right. Forever. All right. And he would declare and testify of Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we have a wonderful witness of that tonight, don't we? See, that's right. He said, what kind of people should we be then? Why, we should be free and happy. Oh my, no condemnation, living above sin and disgrace, not by our own, but by Him. See, not what we are, but what He is. I don't accept, God don't accept me for what I am. He accepts me for what Christ has done for me. It isn't my holiness, my righteousness, it's His. He said, I have none to offer, but I have accepted His. Amen. So I know He's pleased with that, for He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and He raised Him up from the dead. And just as He raised Him from the dead, so shall we be raised, for we are His bride, flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, and we shall be with Him. And this is from, right, this is the rising of the sun. Brother Bram's speaking of the mechanics and the dynamics. And he said, that's what He proved, hallelujah. That's what Easter proved. He wasn't only the Word, but He was God Himself, the dynamics in the Word. That made the body of Jesus Christ cold, stiff, and dead in the grave, shake into life and rise again and roll away the stone. He said, I am He that was dead, so dead till the sun said He was dead, the moon said He was dead, the stars said He was dead, all nature said He was dead, and now the whole world has to recognize that He's alive again. He's not only the mechanics, God Word, but He's the dynamics to prove it. He has the dynamics to prove it. And as He being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of Him, and it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelation any others has spoke of the bride. It can only manifest. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride, because she is flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, life of His life, power of His power. She is Him. As man and woman are one, and woman taken from His side, she had taken a spirit, the feminine spirit from Him, the flesh from His side, made both mechanics and dynamics, the wife, the spirit of Him and the flesh of Him, and put it together and made the mechanics and the dynamics until the church or the people. So we see that we had the mechanics, but it was the dynamics that came through Him. And He said, then the bride has the same thing. Amen. We've had the mechanics, but we have the dynamics now. But see, the thing is we've got to recognize that we have the dynamics. The dynamics is here because it came through the Word. So when the Word came, the Holy Spirit was there to quicken the Word to bring it to pass. But the thing is you've got to realize that that is what's speaking to you. It's your time. It is your inheritance. It's for you. And many times people say, well, you know, that's for Brother Branham, that's for Brother Dale, that's for somebody else. No, that's for you. Amen. Many times people want to put that on somebody else and say, well, you know, we're just waiting on Brother Bob because, you know, Brother Bob, he's the one. Well, no, Brother Bob's not the one. He's not the only one. Because many people, well, they want to put it on somebody else. No, it's you and I have to do it. Each one of us have to have our own part. See, it's because it's a body ministry, so it's not just one that we're just going to wait on somebody else to do it. It's not just going to one of us that's going to manifest it. It takes every one of us to do our part. And many people, you know, so if we're going to do it as a whole group, it's the whole body, it's the whole bride that's going to do it. And if we receive that, we realize that, you know, it's mine. Yes. We see, we have to believe that. We say, well, you know, that's what, well, when the bride recognizes, well, now's the time to recognize who you are. That's what God wants to do, is He wants you to recognize who you are. Yes. That we've had the mechanics, but we've got the dynamics too. Yes. If we can just light the gasoline, we've got the car polished up and everything, and it's ready to go. But the thing is we've got to operate it. It's got to be us. It's our job. What God has spoken to us. See, we understand what God has given us in this hour for us to do. Here in, this is Matthew chapter 10, and it says, Jesus speaking, said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. He said, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He said, But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And when they persecute you in the city, flee ye into another, for verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciples is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye unto the housetops. And fear not them which shall kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the body, both soul and body in hell. So we begin to speak, you know, when he begins to speak here, you know, we see what was going. They're going to come against you. You know, as he's telling the disciples here, you know, listen, these are things that's going to take place. And if he spoke the way he spoke of me, and then he's going to speak of you. It's coming against you the same way. And, you know, and it's the same way as it is, and in the same way today. Not just the way it was to them, but it's to every believer. You know, every believer has, in every age, has been the outcast. Has been the scourge of the earth. Has always had everybody turned against them. But he said, you know, when you come into these situations, when you go and you have to be brought before all these, he said, don't worry about what you gotta say. He said, why? Because of the words will be given to you. You know, many times when things come to you and, you know, somebody will ask you a question or whatever happens, different things, you know, I just pray, Lord, just give me what needs to be said, because sometimes I amaze myself at what I say. Why? Because when somebody asks a question, sometimes you don't know what to, you don't even know how to answer the question. You know, Brother Brown, I was listening to Brother Branham, and he was talking about the brother that come and asked him about the serpent seed. And, you know, then he was standing there and he's like, Lord, how am I going to answer this question? But you know, the Lord gave him the answer. It's right here. Yes, right. So, you know, when the Lord comes, you know, you just trust him. He said, don't have to worry, because it's not us that's going to answer the question. Because when those questions come up, you know, then he will always have his answer. He will always have a witness. Amen. That's going to answer these questions. But I love that when he said, when you speak to these things, he said, you know, you don't have to hide. You don't have to back up. He said, when you hear these things, he said, preach them from the housetops. Amen. You know, as people always want, you know, they want to try to put the message down and put things back. You know, these things weren't done in a back room somewhere. They weren't hid because, you know, they have been preached all around the world. And you know, Brother Ram standing up there in Chicago in front of 300 ministers, the Greater Chicago Ministerial Association, wanting to question him on his doctrine. And Brother Tommy Hicks and all them were standing up there, and he began to speak about those things. And he stood there and he told Brother Tommy, he said, Brother Tommy, he said, you preach for me tonight. He said, you know, you get up and speak. And he said, oh, Brother Branham, I couldn't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. He said, why? He said, you know, I would do anything for you, and you know, you said you'd do anything for me. Oh, I can't do that. No. That's what Brother Ram told him. Said, listen, Brother Tommy. He said, they got a trap set for me. He said, they're coming after me. He said, we're not even going to be in the room that you think we're going to be in. All of it was laid out. Brother Ram told him exactly how things were going to take place, what would take place, and when he walked in there, exactly where everybody was going to sit and everything, how everything was going to be that night. And stood there and told him, he said, well, come here. He said, y'all want to question me on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and baptism in Jesus' name and all these things? He said, well, bring your Bibles and come here. This message went all the way around the world. Brother Ram said, I've traveled around the world 7 times. See, he's not left the world without a witness. He's not been hidden somewhere or whatever. But if the same Jesus that brought him up from the, that brought Jesus from the dead, and he said, if he dwells in you, if he's the same one, see, it didn't make Brother Branham anything, but it made God everything. And if it's the same one that was there when Brother Branham stood behind that pulpit and said, this is the word, he said, bring your Bibles and let's see if it stands the truth or not. If it's the same one, then it's the same life that lives inside of you. It's the same one. Then you know what? If it's the same Jesus Christ, if we're the sting that is the same bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, life of his life, if it's all the same, then you know what? We can do the exact same thing. We don't have to back up. We don't have to stand back. You know, we can stand and claim our God-given rights. Amen. What God has given us, because it's the truth.
Right.
And it will stand the test of time. It has stood the test of time. But whatever God has given you, then you can claim it and believe it.
Yes.
But the thing is God has in our day has spoken and has revealed himself and revealed the word to us. And it is a witness to us to show us these things. All the infallible proofs that we've seen. Because you can say, is there anybody in this building that can raise your hand and say you've not seen God move in your life? Amen. Then we've seen God. How many people can stand and say, I've seen God move. I've seen the supernatural in my life. There's things that I know what God has done for me. Then you know we can stand and claim what God has done for us. But you know what? Then the Satan, and as we've seen what Satan has done, because everything that he has done is contrary. And we know what the scripture said that his end will be. Well, because we know how of all the things that he has done in your life and all the things that he has done. We don't even have to read the scripture when we look at what he's done. But if we just go back to what the devil has done in our lives of what he's tried to do, and we know what God has done for us to overcome the power of Satan, then you know that we can say, why are we listening to him? Why do we even entertain the time that the devil has to come and tell us things that are contrary to what he says? Every time you get a little chest pain, a little backache, you got something or other, and it's all, well, that's a heart attack.
Come on, brother.
How many people in here has had a kidney stone? How many times you ever get a backache, something that's like, oh, kidney stone, that's a kidney stone. That ain't a kidney stone, that's a backache. I don't sign for that package.
That's right.
I had one, and I told him, I said, I don't wish that on my worst enemy.
That's right.
I had to have surgery to get that thing busted up. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to have to go through that again. I know what it is to pray for somebody when they say, I got a kidney stone. I know how to pray for people. Sir, I can tell you, I had one, I was rolling around in the bathroom floor. I didn't think I was ever going to make it. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was hurting so bad, I thought somebody was splitting me apart. But you know, we listen to Satan, he's going to tell us all about all these things about, well, you know what? You're not going to get well. Or your children aren't going to make it. Or you can't pay your bills. Or whatever's going to happen, you're going to lose your job. You're not going to get the job. Or whatever the problem is. I was told Brother Sister Dale was over at the house, over their house the other night. You know, I was telling about Brother Dale, always stayed with me. You know, years ago, Brother Dale was talking about the Lord spoke to him and told him, he said, you know, I've taken care of you this long.
Yes.
All these years, he said, I'll take care of you the rest of the way.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it's the same. It doesn't matter, you know, because we're all God's children. Well, if we're all God's children, then you know what? He doesn't do something for one that he won't do for the other.
That's right.
God ain't got any favorites.
Oh, right.
Now, you know, sometimes when your parents, you know, down in being earthly parents, now when you got multiple children, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to try to make everything even. It don't always work out that way. But you know what? God don't do one for that he won't do for the other one. He said, "What? Because he said that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." Well, then whatever he got, we got the same thing.
Amen.
Then we don't have to worry about what God has done for us, because if it's the same thing that God done for one, he's going to do for the other one. Then if he's done it for one and we've seen it take place, then you know what? We can claim the exact same thing. But you know, we don't give place to the devil. We don't listen to what he has to say. People get out and then they try to run down this message and tear it all to pieces. But you know what? God has given the truth, and you know what? When it comes the time, it's always come to pass that somebody's been, just like they got out there talking about, you know, there wasn't, the cloud was wrong, and all this is all man-made, all kind of stuff, and then somebody comes along, when Brother Bill comes along and proved everything, he's like, well, you know what? Y'all don't want to believe the word of God? Well, let me tell you, when you look at something scientific, then you tell me how it was not supernatural. If you've not seen the videos, I encourage you to see them. Now, there might be sometimes when people start listening to that, when Brother Bill gets in there, they gets over in the weeds sometimes, and people think, well, Brother Bill's way over my head. That's all right. You just keep listening to him, and Brother Bill get to the point where you realize there's only one thing that brought that cloud into being, that was Brother Branham out there in Arizona, and that was God. That was a supernatural event, and I don't care what anybody has to say. They can try to tear it down. Everything that Brother Branham has ever said, they always try to tear it down. But you know what? God has had a witness in this day to show what the truth is.
Amen.
When they tried to talk about Brother Branham talking about the bridge and all these other events and all these things, God has always had a witness to show that it was the truth.
Amen.
And the other thing is people say, well, it's not the truth or whatever, but you know what? God has raised up a group of people that stand and walking in the truth, and they say, well, you know, it's hard to live this life or whatever more. You know what? God has had a group, and he's got a bride that he's showing, that he's going to show to Satan. He said she's not going to fall like the other Eve. There's going to be one that's going to stand up, and they're going to walk the walk, and they're going to take a body change. And no, nothing that he can do is ever going to stop that. Why? Because he's given us the proof. He's given us the life. And because he did it, he said, because I've done it, you can do it. You will do also. The same things that I've done, he said, shall you do also. And so we've seen these things, but we've got to believe the witness. So when we've seen what every time, because all it takes, I'm going to stop here in a minute, I promise you. But when we see one time, all it takes is one time. When you have a witness in court, when they fail one time, all it takes is one lie to catch them, one inconsistency, one inconsistent statement, one false statement, and you know what? You can disbar that witness. You can remove that witness. Well, how many times have you seen Satan come to you and tell you something that's not be right? How many times has he come and tried to tell you that you're not who you are, and you're not going to get what you have need of, and all these things, he's come against you, and you've seen the devil thwarted. When you've seen the devil defeated every single time, and you know what, if it's only been one time, then you know what, the devil's defeated.
Right.
We already know by the word of God that he's already defeated even today.
Amen.
He can't, he doesn't have any legs, doesn't even have a place to stand, doesn't even have anything to stand on, doesn't have a leg to stand on, and he's already defeated. But you know what? We will still, in our human mind, in our human existence, still take the time in our day to listen to what he has to say. So what we need to do is just, so listen, you're dead. You're gone.
Yes.
But you know, people will still listen. And you know, when the devil comes and the doctor's got these things to tell you, you know, you've got all these issues and all these problems. No. I don't have any of them. I'm not accepting them. I don't have to accept any of those things. What did he give us? He gave us the word. Hebrews 4, he said his quick and power is sharper than any two-edged sword. Anything that comes against us, we have the weapon of choice to destroy that power, that whatever it comes, that situation, whatever it is, we've got the weapon of choice to destroy it. We're going to have the musicians come, and I just want to read this one last quote here. And this is from Oneness. You know, Brother Bram, talking about the sword in the hand. You know that sword. He said, you know, when you have a fight, you've got two people with swords. And he said, we've got the sword, which is the word of God. And he said, the devil don't even have a sword. He said, he's got a stick. So he's got a stick. He said, he don't have a sword. He said, how is he going to battle? He don't even have a real weapon to fight with. He said, oh God, this is from Oneness. He said, oh God, how I could think when the church was on the move, when Moses got a little scared down there at the sea, he began to cry out to the Lord. And the Lord said, why are you crying to me? What are you crying to me? Speak and go forward. Haven't I commissioned you to the job? Speak. Speak what? Speak the word of God. It's in you. Speak and go forward. Don't cry unto me. Go forward. So if he give the commission to Moses, then you know what? Brothers and sisters, he's given us the commission too.
Amen.
Because that's exactly what Acts tells us. Acts 1, he said, but you shall receive power that when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses.
Amen.
So you're going to be a witness to these things.
Yes.
And he said, and Lord God, today I come in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm yielding this sword of faith, claiming the oneness of God and man by the Holy Ghost through the mercies and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his Son. He said, I defy every devil that's bound anybody in any way in this building, whether he be boy or girl, man or woman. I defy every sickness. I defy every doubt. I defy every fear. I defy everything that's ungodly. Leave this audience in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of this audience that we can be one with God and can serve God without sickness or fear. May the power that made us one with God, how can that devil squawk yourself around the anointed? How can that devil stand there and squawk himself like a Goliath? When David come into the camp and said, you mean you let that uncircumcised Philistine stand there and defy the armies of the living God? Oh God, make man and woman rise in the spirit of God. Let that unconverted, that dejected devil that's harmed the human race down through the age, stand here and defy the living God, the church of the living God. Satan, come out and leave in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, now you that's got strength enough to yield a sword, now that you've got understanding enough in God's word to claim it to be your personal property. He said, who can pick up the word of God now in your hand, hold it out in the hand of faith and say, I take my side with the Lord. I'll be oneness with God from this on. I'll yield this sword of the Spirit with this word, and I'll cut the devil to every promise that God promised me. He said, if you believe that with all your heart, I ask you then sincerely with all your heart in the name of Jesus Christ, stand to your feet and accept it. So I tell you this morning, if you believe what God has said about you, then stand to your feet and accept it this morning. He said, do you mean it? He said, are you sincere?
Yes.
Is the word in your hand?
Yes.
Is your hand your faith?
Yes.
Raise your physical hand to God and say, God, by this, by my uplifted hand, I pledge all my life. I pledge my soul. I pledge my thinking. I pledge everything to the word of God. Let the Holy Spirit take my faith now and give to me the thing. Cut every doubt away from me. And by faith, I receive the promise that I asked for this moment. And if you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Now say amen again.
Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Then if you believe that with all your heart in the name of Jesus Christ, I promise you what you've asked for.
Amen.
You believe it with all your heart. God bless you. Well, what more can he do for us?
Amen.
He's already promised it.
Amen.
It's already ours.
Yes. Right.
So we can stand and thank God for what belongs to us. Brother John, let's sing a song.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Do.
do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet
you this morning. You're dismissed. To sing
the spring of all my comfort.
Say